We are ready for argument in our first case, 11-2064, Yan v. Holder. Mr. Yerman.
Good morning. May it please the court, Gary Yerman on behalf of petitioner Ms. Yan. We believe that there are three issues presented in this petition for review this morning. First, did the BIA and IJ err when they applied Fourth Circuit case law to a decision made by an IJ sitting in New York, which is currently is in the Second Circuit? Second, is the IJ's decision to find the petitioner incredible supported by any substantial evidence? And third, did the BIA err in holding that women subjected to forced marriage in China do not qualify as a particular social group based upon current Fourth Circuit law? First, this individual hearing, the merits hearing, was conducted in New York. The merits hearing was concluded, and the case was denied by the immigration judge. The BIA remanded the case back to the immigration judge, who then transferred the case to Virginia, disregarding BIA instructions. The judge in Virginia simply issued a decision saying, we're in Fourth Circuit now, Second Circuit case law doesn't apply. We don't find that the petitioner's met her burden on the Fourth Circuit case law that allows her to win her asylum case based upon being a member of a particular social group.
I thought the Second Circuit case that you based your argument on had been vacated by the Supreme Court.
Well, Your Honor, what was vacated was the procedural aspects of the Ninth Circuit case in Thomas, and the substantive aspects of Gao, the Second Circuit case, which held that women forced into marriage did fit into the particular social group category, was not overturned. So the substantive issue, the dispositive issue, was still law, and it should have been followed, and the immigration judge and BIA erred in not following it.
Oh, wait a minute. You seem to be suggesting that Gao was binding on the IJ. That's not what you said in your brief. You simply said it was, at best, persuasive authority. And even, frankly, I find it even less persuasive given the fact that, as Judge Agee pointed out, that decision was vacated by the Supreme Court.
Well, I agree with what was said in my brief in that it's persuasive. It isn't binding, but what I was trying to say is that it's not binding in the opposite direction, that it should be disregarded. It should be disregarded because the merits of the finding by the Second Circuit in that case regarding a particular social group was not overturned. And so that argument, the analysis, is still something I believe that the immigration court and this court should review and hold persuasive.
Well, in that case, my memory may be faulty. I thought the group were certain women in China who had either been kidnapped or sold into marriage.
Well, that's correct.
That's not the case. That's not what we have here.
Well, I would respectfully disagree. Ms. Yan's...
was she kidnapped?
Excuse me?
Was she kidnapped?
No, she was not.
Was she sold?
She was not. She was forced.
Was she married?
She never... she left China before the marriage.
She was not forced into marriage, I think is the question.
She was told by the village head that she was required to marry the village head's nephew. She left China before marrying the village head's nephew. So forced marriage or sale of marriage, I believe, are similar enough to argue that the same analysis should apply. Number two, the immigration judge's decision to find that the petitioner, Ms. Yan, was not credible regarding her claim of forced abortion is not supported by substantial evidence. The immigration judge simply made a one-sentence cursory remark that he has doubts regarding the petitioner's claim. This court cannot conduct any meaningful review of such a parse analysis. And these doubts are based upon the own immigration judge speculation. Certainly we can't doubt that in 19...
Well, what he said was that he doubted her credibility because she failed to report this claim of forced abortion during her initial interview, despite being asked whether or not she had faced mistreatment. That seems to be a pretty credible reason for rejecting the claim on its face. That's not speculation. That's based on the record.
Well, what the petitioner was asked at the credible fear interview was, why did you leave China? And she explained that she left China because she was being forced to be married. And as far as mistreatment, it's difficult to stand in the shoes of a foreigner who has no concept of any law, especially immigration law, to say that you should have known that when you were asked, were you ever mistreated, that that encompasses everything, that encompasses forced abortion and the marriage. It's easy for us to sit back and say, of course you should have said included the forced abortion. That is mistreatment. But everybody defines, every culture defines mistreatment differently. And if we look at the totality of the circumstances, did it really lend itself, this question lend itself to extract every bit of information? Because if it did, then the question should have been, did anything happen to you, ma'am, in China that you want to tell us about that you believe falls under a claim of persecution? Now, if you don't answer that question, that's a very clear, unambiguous question. And this is a pre-Real ID Act, so we have to look at the totality of circumstances. So next we go to the merits hearing. Nothing arose at the merits hearing to give rise to a claim of adverse credibility through the government's questions and through the judge's questions. And that would have been the time or place to extract details about this alleged, abortion, which could have easily been corroborated, or negative credibility could have been based upon her testimony, but it wasn't. It was based upon the one statement, as you mentioned, Judge. You didn't mention it at your airport interview.
But as I recall, the IJ also expressed doubts about the validity of the abortion certificate. Wasn't it undated?
Well, what the IJ found was the date peculiar because it was dated the same date of the abortion, even though the father received the document years later. Mm-hmm. What the IJ incorrectly translated was a line. An empty line that was filled in. And what was filled in was the date of the abortion, not the date the abortion certificate was issued. So is it improper analysis by the IJ to conclude that this is the date the document was issued? No, it was the date the abortion happened. And we're talking about China. We're talking about a 19-year-old girl who was unmarried, who was discovered at her gynecological exam that she was pregnant unknowingly, and she was forced to undergo an abortion. Clearly plausible events based upon the country reports and evidence.
Could I ask a predicate sort of question that I didn't think was particularly thoroughly explored, and that is her fear of persecution. She came to this country in 2003 saying that, and gave as her only reason at the credible fear interview, that she faced the possibility of a forced marriage. Has she established a credible fear of persecution should she be returned, and isn't that a threshold basis of her claim? Doesn't she have to do that to reach even the social characteristic issue that you are addressing?
Yes, Your Honor, that's an excellent question. It's our interpretation that the petitioner at her individual hearing did establish that she is a member of a particular social group based upon the claim of forced marriage. And
I don't want to speak for Judge Duncan, but it sounds like to me you've leapfrogged a step from her question, which I would say is, what's your best evidence, both for subjective and objective purposes, that your client has established a fear of future persecution?
My argument would be she's established the past persecution, and it would be under the regulations incumbent upon the government to establish of change country conditions or change personal circumstances, which would then either the judge can decide you no longer have a future fear.
Let's just assume for purposes of argument that there was no establishment of the past persecution.
Okay.
So now you're on your own for establishing future persecution, which has two elements. Tell us what your best evidence is that establishes both of those elements.
My best argument is my argument that she was credible on her past persecution because we do not have a strong argument on well-founded fear. We just don't have. You're correct.
You do understand that you were instructed or asked, requested for the purposes of the question. And I'd remind you that the BIA found no past persecution. So assuming that that is correct, please, could you answer my question on what in the record supports a subjective or objective fear of future persecution?
The financial harm that was placed upon her family and her father when she declined to marry the village chief's nephew. He lost his job as a sanitation worker, his only employment, and any other repercussions which may result as a consequence of disregarding the village head request to marry his nephew.
And those are likely to recur 10 years later. I noticed, for example, that the letter from Jan's mother didn't discuss whether, in fact, the father actually did lose his job as a result of her refusal to marry the nephew.
The petitioner also testified that her parents are illiterate and they had a cousin write the letter. So I understand that it wasn't included, but I think there was a reasonable explanation for that. Now, I reserve some time on rebuttal. So
thank you very much. Thanks.
If I could, come back did for you rebuttal, if you could address, because I'm confused both by the BIA opinion and your brief, exactly what is the social group that you're contending that Ms. Yang was a member of? Because at some points it's referred to as women subjected to forced marriage. In other places it's described as women who would be targeted for forced marriage, which would seem like to be two different groups. So if you could tell us which one or both you say she's a member of.
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay.
Thank you. Ms. Cantor? Please.
May it please the court, Nancy Cantor on behalf of the Attorney General. Your Honors, I'd like to briefly address your threshold question, and I think you hit onto the main issue in this case. This case was never a particular social group case. In 2003, when petitioner filed her asylum application, she indicated that she opposed forced marriage on political opinion grounds. It was only after the Second Circuit issued its decision in Gao, holding that women who have been sold into marriage is a particular social group, that the case was remanded for consideration in light of Gao.
So you got plenty of time, so you
slow
down. Just
I talk very fast.
Okay.
It was only after the Second Circuit's case in Gao that this case became a particular social group case. On remand before the immigration judge in New York and in Arlington, petitioner was given the opportunity to present additional evidence in support of her particular social group claim. Both times she declined. That's why the issue of what petitioner's particular social group is, how it's defined, what evidence she has never been presented before the board. So why the agency's decision denying her particular social group claim is wholly supported by the record, because petitioner's never met her burden of demonstrating eligibility for any kind of relief.
Well, but the BIA didn't rule on that basis. They concluded as a matter of law that women who have been targeted for forcible marriage in the past simply was not a cognizable social group. That's different than saying that the petitioner failed to meet her burden on that claim.
You're right, Your Honor. The court did de novo look at the issue, but I think that was, I believe that was a, it was more dicta in the court's position. If you look at the petitioner's brief before the board, petitioner hung her hat on Gao. The argument of whether or not the social visibility particularity requirements and even whether or not her group can be cognizable as a social group issue has never been briefed before the board. Petitioner's hung her hat on Gao. Her social group, even if considered by the board, is completely circular. As Your Honor noted, in Gao, the petitioners were sold into marriage. Here, petitioner's social group is entirely circular. It fails to exist but for the fact that they've been targeted.
Do you reach the particular social group either on the grounds of particularity or social visibility if the record does not reflect evidence of a fear of future prosecution? Isn't that a threshold level that you have to meet?
I believe, Your Honor, that is one way to decide the issue.
I realize that that's not what the board decided it on, but that's both Judge Duncan and I have asked questions about that point.
Well, I think that's not what the board decided, but that is definitely the problem in this case, which is not...
I think the question, and I'm now speaking for Judge Agee, my question is whether or not it isn't a threshold question that we would need to reach before we reached the social visibility group issue. And that's my question. Is it a threshold? Is it an antecedent question that has to be answered before we get to the substantive question of whether or not she satisfies the criteria of a particular social group?
I don't believe it has to be answered first. You obviously need to demonstrate it in order to show that you're eligible for asylum as a member of a particular social group. However, there's no evidence, even if we were to give petitioner the benefit of the doubt and hold that she has articulated a cognizable social group, there is no evidence in the record of any kind of harm that she might suffer if she's forced to return to China. As I stated, she was given two opportunities to present additional evidence specifically on this point, and she declined at both instances.
What do you assert as the substantial evidence supporting the IJ's adverse credibility finding with respect to the forced abortion claim?
Well, Your Honor, I believe there are two specific cogent reasons which the immigration judge offered for finding her not credible. One, her failure to mention her alleged forced abortion in either of her two interviews in 2003. Petitioner was interviewed immediately upon arrival. Petitioner was interviewed immediately upon arrival at the gate, and then she was, a few days later, participated in a credible fear interview. At both instances, petitioner was asked whether she's been detained or arrested, and she said no. She also made no mention of the forcible abortion claim at all. The immigration judge's other specific cogent reason is that her abortion certificate was dated contemporaneously with the abortion, even though it was not obtained until 2005, and there was no indication of when the abortion was obtained or how she obtained it, just her statement that she called her father and asked that he request this. So in light of the State Department's reports that documents from this portion of the country are frequently fraudulent, the immigration judge's unwillingness to credit that document is certainly defensible.
Well, the petitioner responds, at least to that first argument, that she wasn't asked the proper question. How do you respond to that?
Your Honor, I don't...
She didn't ask a specific enough question about that issue.
I don't think, Your Honor, that an asylum officer or an immigration officer at the gate has an obligation to ask an arriving alien, whether they might qualify for any kind of relief under the sun. I think if petitioner had suffered a forcible abortion and believed that she had been wrongly persecuted on account of that, it's her burden and her obligation to raise that.
Well, she was asked, as I recall, about any other mistreatment. Were those the words?
I believe you're correct, Your Honor. And here, in this case, the other troubling fact is that petitioner never offered a persuasive or compelling explanation for her failure to mention it. I believe her explanations were, I didn't say because this has already been a long time and I didn't think about it. So I think the immigration judge's determination that the omission at two specific instances, despite being asked, have you been arrested, detained, or mistreated, is certainly defensible. Unless the court has any other questions, I'm happy to rest.
Thank you very much. Mr. Yerman, you have some time for rebuttal.
Thank you. Judge, I believe that what we're saying today is that women who are either sold into marriage or forced into marriage fit into a particular social group as defined under Matter of Acosta, BIA precedent regarding particular social group.
Now, but that issue isn't really before us, is it?
Which
issue? Well, the petitioner doesn't fit into that group.
Well,
as you define it.
We believe that the petitioner, as somebody who was forced to enter a marriage if she didn't flee, would similarly...
Well, how about the BIA's definition? Is that adequate? Women who have been targeted for forcible marriage in the past, why is that not a sufficiently definite social group to satisfy your burden?
It is. Thank you.
Okay.
Great.
But the problem then is, even if we assume that's true, and of course the government says there wasn't enough evidence presented on the point, that you still at some point have to show evidence of future persecution, and you fail on that ground.
I would put the burden back on the immigration court to follow the initial remand order by the BIA and to allow the petitioner to develop that. If that is the dispositive issue that was instructed by the BIA to the IJ to decide. But even with that said, we believe that petitioner has established the credible testimony that she was forced to undergo an abortion. The BIA has not provided any analysis for the court to review of any substantial credibility for the court to review that could uphold that decision.
Can we uphold it on other grounds appearing in the record?
No, because I don't believe it's a de novo review. I think it's a factual error, not supported by substantial evidence that must be remanded.
Well,
the de novo review. Excuse me.
For example, in our case in Crespin versus Valadares, we said that a member of a particular social group, a member, we have to find that the members share a certain immutable characteristic.
Right, and we agree with the analysis, and we believe under Crespin that the petitioner has met the burden to show that she does fit in the category of a particular social group.
No, my question was, how is that characteristic immutable?
It's immutable by the facts of the case. She is a single woman who was forced to enter into a marriage.
Perhaps
but for
I better
fleeing.
Ask, we may not be communicating on what is immutable. We have defined immutable as a characteristic that either cannot change or should not be required to be changed.
And what I'm saying is that as a single woman...
Is her status as a single woman not subject to change?
It should not be forced upon her.
You would
her.
Say that it should not be required to change because it is fundamental to her individual identity or conscience.
That's correct. That's correct.
Assume in your answer to Judge Diaz's question, you have adopted the targeted for forced marriage definition that appears in the BIA opinion and apparently also in your brief. So if that's the case, can you tell us what targeted for forced marriage means? How do we define that so it's not a completely indiscernible group?
We would say the response to that would be have to be done on a case-by-case basis. And I would not urge the court to create any large group that people can fall under the umbrella.
It has to be one recognized in the society. So how do you recognize in a particular society those who are targeted for forced marriage? There have to be some, I would assume, some objective characteristics other than the fact that there's a young lady and a young man somewhere and hormones are gone awry, because that would apply in every culture.
Your Honor, yes, and I would agree, and I think the analysis should begin with the State Department report on the particular country. And China is a country where the State Department agrees forced marriage exists. That is the launching point to any claim. Not every society requires forced marriage. Each society has its own perils. And so you start off with, are you from an area where the reports claim that forced marriages occur? Next is the analysis on a case-by-case basis. Are you of marrying age, and can you support your claim that you've been forced to enter into a marriage, your subjective claim, which is supported by objectively reasonable evidence, the State Department report.
From any unbalanced romantic relationship in any culture in the world?
Because in China, there are consequences to not following certain leaders of your communities. And so where an unbalanced relationship may result in unhappiness, a forced marriage dooms a person to a lifelong suffering.
Okay. So,
if there are any other further questions. Thank you.
We will come down, Greek Council, and proceed directly to the next case.